everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Sit Still, Look Opinionated. I'm your host, Claire Malky. I'm like that new reusable dryer ball you just got from Trader Joe's. Efficient. Whenever I think back to the beginning of an ongoing life event, like starting college or moving to Chicago or my first Taco Bell Crunchwrap Supreme, they always seem so precious. This week, we are a year into the pandemic, and I'm reminiscing about all those times last March when all I did was tend my plant babies, make sourdough bread, and put together gradient puzzles. Yes, there was a global pandemic, but I never had to leave my apartment. An introvert's dream. Well, except for one thing. Laundry. Conveniently located outside and two floors down and costs a whopping $3 a load. Everything was going just fine until, dun, 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 the great American coin shortage. Here I was, just a humble comedian trying to live up to her self-proclaimed title of dryer ball. The drama. The stakes were higher than Dank and Dabby on Disjointed. As I ran low on quarters, I remembered, ding, my childhood state quarter collection. We're talking 50 pieces of legal tender worth 25 cents each. I had spent literally my entire childhood collecting these tiny bits of currency. I even had them in this really cool display case so I could show them off to all my friends. I had brought this conversation piece with me to Chicago to, you know, kickstart interactions at social gatherings with people far more interesting than me. It's called The Art of Small Talk. Look it up. But now I was faced with the biggest decision of my whole life, where literally every piece of clothing I own as to avoid doing laundry or destroy the last remnant of my childhood, which I always thought would be my Little Mermaid doll, but after a traumatic incident with a plane and some lost baggage, it was indeed these fucking coins. Smash cut two. I was out of underwear, socks, leggings, dresses. By the last day, I was basically wearing a towel. So I broke down and ripped every quarter out of my little booklet. Kentucky, gone. Massachusetts, bye-bye. Alaska? Are you kidding me? Do you know how hard it was to find fucking Alaska? Well, childhood Claire, do you know how hard it is to get to the point where you can smell yourself on your clothes? It's revolting. But one by one, I dropped these little memories into my laundry bag and took them to their maker. After I had sacrificed all of my childhood to the god of clean clothes, I sat there with an empty booklet. After wiping away a single tear, or, you know, bawling my eyes out, I'm a huge crier, come on, it's totally normal, I realized that nothing was stopping me from starting over again. It wasn't about the quarters, but about the memories of looking for them. And now I have the chance to make new memories. And clean clothes that don't smell like Febreze. The dryer ball has returned, everyone! And we've got an amazing show in store for you all today. We've got our headlines, we've got our sketches, and for our Chicago artist spotlight, we have the awesome rapper Mohawk Johnson. Make sure you stick around. In honor of the first quarter I ever collected, I'm drinking a craft beer from Delaware. Grab your drink and let's get started. Up next, this week's headlines. A former political advisor to Arnold Schwarzenegger is in hot water due to his failed anti-Trump group, the Lincoln Project. He was actually just jealous his candidate was terminated. HBO Max accidentally showed the Justice League's Snyder Cut when attempting to watch the Tom and Jerry movie. The worst part? Nobody could tell the difference. Although parents had a hard time explaining why Tom was dressed like a bat and Jerry looked like a clown. Congress cleared a $1.9 trillion bill that they sent over to Biden. Because, you know, grandpa's got to foot the bill. Opponents of the $1.9 trillion stimulus say it could unleash an inflation monster. To kill the beast, you must first lure it out of the swamp, said our swamp correspondent, Beowulf. Officials are assuring the public that there's no need to worry about inflation. But that's the same thing that they said to their wives on their honeymoon, and now look how those marriages turned out. Internet artist Beeple sold a JPEG for $69 million. Noice. The Weeknd has said that he will boycott future Grammys. I guess this is after the world boycotted his performance at the Super Bowl. His alter ego, The Workweek, could not be reached for a comment. But there is news of a collaboration with Dolly Parton. Working 9 to 5. Jennifer Lopez and Alex Rodriguez broke off their 2-year engagement. This proves celebrities are just like us, but with feelings and a 9-figure bank account. Ahead of the Olympics, China has offered to vaccinate all athletes. China is now favored to win every single medal. 4 people from the Detroit suburbs will split the $1 billion Mega Millions jackpot from January. The suburbs, really? Fuck those people. Introverts have expressed anxiety over reopening after a year's worth of pandemic isolation. They've found an unlikely ally: unmasked people getting wasted in bars on St. Patrick's Day. The city of Chicago dyed the river green to celebrate the Irish holiday. Bar crawl participants have also been dyed green to track the newest wave of COVID infections. To kick off March Madness, the first round of matchups includes AOC versus Marjorie Taylor Greene. Oh, wait, sorry, that's from a script I'm writing for the revival of MTV's Celebrity Deathmatch. An army reservist who engaged in the Capitol insurrection sported a Hitler mustache, which is just as surprising as learning that gravity still works. Migrants from Mexico have been flooding borders since Biden was elected. They're not even open anymore, said Barnes & Noble. Hot tub incidents have repeatedly tripled during lockdown, which I guess is a nice way of saying syphilis. Black and Latino communities are grappling with vaccine misinformation, which, sadly, is not the guy dressed in a wrestling costume who calls himself vaccine misinformation. New investigations reveal that 5-star ratings for most nursing homes are deceiving. As a former member of the service industry, I never thought I'd say this, but way to make Yelp look like the good guy. Despite COVID outbreaks, youth sports teams play on. Looks like this year, there's more at stake than just that scholarship. And that's this week's headlines. Recently, I've started playing that game online where Google Maps drops you somewhere random and you have to figure out where you are. So now I'm introducing a new segment, my version of the game, Where in the World is Carmen San Diaudio? Is everything okay?
I don't know, Claire. Is it? Do you know where I am?
Oh, is this part of the game? Because it sounds like you were in actual trouble.
That's not an answer, Claire! Where am I?
Oh, geez, I don't know. It sounds like you're in Vietnam circa 1969.
Wrong! I was in the bathroom! Ha-ha! Not even close.
Seriously? It sounded like you were in a war zone.
The telltale sign of any bathroom, Claire, keep up or you're going to lose the game. Where am I now, Claire?
A city or a construction zone?
Wrong again! I'm still in the bathroom! It's like you're not even trying.
How was I supposed to get that? It sounded completely different than your other bathroom noises.
These are textbook bathroom sounds. I don't know what to tell you. Let's see if you can get this last one.
Now, stepping up to the bat, Anthony Rizzo.
Where am I, Claire?
Well, I hear a crowd, baseball music, and Anthony Rizzo's name. So, your bathroom again?
No, Claire! I am row 6 seat 10 of Wrigley Field, obviously!
How was I supposed to guess what seat you were in?
Clearly you don't understand the rules of the game, Claire.
I invented the game! I called you, remember? I said, hey, Carmen, you want to help me with this Carmen Sandiego knockoff sketch idea I have? And you were like, sure, Claire, that sounds fun.
I don't sound like that. I'll give you one last chance to catch me. Where am I now?
I don't know, Carmen. You're whispering, so like the library?
Wrong again, my friend. This time I'm behind you!
Ah! Carmen, what the fuck? Get out of my house!
Until next time, Claire!
Well, this was the first and last time we play Where in the World is Carmen San D'Audio? Hey, you owe me a new window!
I'm a dad. I do dad things. Not like the things my dad used to do, like start a secret second family. No, instead, I drive a Subaru. I choose Subaru because its safety is unmatched and its style is top-notch. Also, because my father-in-law gave it to me, and I want my wife to think I like him.
I'm a dog, and I do dog things. I run in the yard, I bark really loud, and occasionally, I'll murder a squirrel and bury its carcass in the backyard to remind myself I'm still an animal. Those kids have no idea the number of bodies they play on every day. I could tell them, but I don't. Instead, I drive a Subaru. I drive a Subaru because it's one of the safest cars on the road. And also because John lets me drive when he's had too much to drink.
That's because I trust Subaru to keep me safe. And Spot here not to be a snitch. Because snitches don't drive Subarus.
So when you want safe, drive Subaru.
Subaru. For dogs and dads.
Hey you, listener. I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank you especially for listening past the first 3 minutes. And thank you mostly for not skipping past any of the ads. Although, if you want to do more to support us and can't figure out how, try visiting our Patreon page, where you can sign up to financially support this podcast with monthly donations starting as low as $3 a month. Don't worry, Mike and I will still be losing money on the podcast because it's a labor of love. But with your help, we can afford to pay Gabe and Fee just enough not to be able to claim it on their taxes. You can do that. All you have to do is visit patreon.com/sitstill and sign up today. Or not. Lord knows you're just going to do what you want to do anyway.
And now for my interview with Mohawk Johnson.
So for today's Chicago Artist Spotlight, we have Mohawk Johnson, a local rapper here in Chicago. Thank you so much for being on the show, Mohawk.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. For our listeners back home, can you give us a little bit about your background and who you are?
Yeah, sure. My name is Mohawk Johnson. Government name is Jeremy Johnson. I am a rapper here in the city of Chicago. I have lived in Chicago since I was 6 years old. So I've been here about 20 years. I'm a rapper, graffiti artist, slam poet. I guess activist is applicable. I just sort of show up and believe in people. And I'm currently a ward of the state of Illinois because I am on house arrest after getting arrested at a protest in August.
Oh, wow. How has that been for you?
It's been kind of whack. My house arrest was contested, in court, and in court, one of the judges that was proceeding over my case before I was officially indicted flat out said that the video being used against me does not look like me, and that he could not see what was happening in the video, but then continued to indict me anyway, which was weird. It's like he pretty much said that the evidence doesn't fit my description or anything like that, and then decided that it was okay to indict me anyway. I'm accused of attacking a police officer at a protest where police officers beat up a bunch of black people, like, on camera. Like, it's well documented that at that protest, police officers attacked a lot of civilians, attacked people who were surrendering, attacked people who had their hands up, beat up people who were unarmed. Like, they did a bunch of stuff like that. So we know for a fact police hit people. The court has not decided whether or not I did it. And a judge flat out said that in the video, it doesn't look like I'm hitting anybody, and they can't even see what's happening in the video. But they decided to indict me anyway because the crime was violent and they wanted to be on the safe side. So I'm in more trouble for speculative violence that cannot be tied to me than the police are for actual violence that they engaged in very clearly on camera.
That sounds like that experience is so insane and so awful. And I'm so sorry that you're having to go through that. That's like really like fucked up, honestly.
I mean, yeah, they hit me with 8 counts, which I didn't know. They hit me for every count that the officer was hit, not only by the person that fits my description, but like the other people, because that officer was like just apparently hit by a bunch of people. And they just tacked all of it on to me after like profiling me at the protest and arresting me. And my case has a co-defendant who I don't know.
You don't know?
Yeah, I don't know who the fuck that dude is. Like, I don't want him in prison either, but like, I don't know who that guy is. And I have a co-defendant. So I don't know what they're doing to me, and I don't know what's going on. But it all feels like really illegal and like a direct violation of my human rights. Like, I don't know what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How has this experience like changed your music career at all? Or have you like, have you used it to inspire any songs or anything like that?
Oh yeah, no, I got a bunch of music about them now and what they've been doing. Not only to me, but to other protesters. Because they've been arresting like protesters and charging them with like felonies. And a lot of the white protesters have been getting their charges dropped or reduced. Some of whom have the same charges I do. Or some of them had their charges stick, but they're not on house arrest. And like black protesters like myself and Chandrick Mann are on house arrest and are being charged very harshly. I'm facing up to 60 years plus, you know, cause it's 3 to 7 for every single charge. And I've got 8 counts, yeah, against me. And that's weird. Chandrick Mann has like 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it like that day at the protest when everything happened? Like, what is your account of it?
I mean, police, we were walking, we were marching peacefully. No property was being destroyed. No crime was being committed. It was a protest. A lot of people called it a riot, but nobody rioted. Like, nobody, like, that's just not what happened. And police officers walked up to us, started pushing us, started grabbing our stuff. exacerbated a bunch of conflict with us randomly and told us to disperse. But when they told us to disperse, they raised the bridge. So we couldn't, like, and I live north of the loop. So when you raise the bridge going north, I can't fucking get home because you cut off my way to get home. And then they surrounded us and then they chased us through downtown and then they kettled us against a building. And the entire time they're beating us and telling us to disperse while blocking off all of our escape routes. So like they're telling us to disperse. But then when people try to leave and go to the red line, they block off the red line and they block off the brown line and they block off the green line and they block off all the trains and they have police officers at the train stations already to pick people off. So they're telling us to disperse, but they're trapping us for dispersal. And that's something that the U.S. military actually started doing during the Iraq war called kettling, where they would just tell people to leave an area and then surround them and then arrest them and then either beat them and interrogate them for information under the guise of disorderly conduct because they're not dispersing. And that's essentially what the police did. The police trapped us in the loop after telling us to disperse and then used that to justify beating us while spinning a narrative that we were being disorderly and destructive. And they targeted a lot of protesters like myself and other people, and they gave us felonies for essentially beating the hell out of us. Like I'm on trial because I allegedly hit an officer in the head with a skateboard. Apparently homie had on body gear and stuff and like wasn't all that injured. But I don't know what the fuck happened. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm looking at the same video the judge is looking at and I can't tell what the fuck is going on. Judge can't tell what the fuck is going on. Video doesn't look like anything. I'm essentially getting charged and facing prison time for essentially the rest of my life. Like I'm 26 and if they give me like prison time and if they try to give me like maximum time for every single count, that's like 60 years. That's like whatever 7 times 8 is. That's how long I'm in danger of getting put away for. And I'm getting charged for allegedly doing to an officer what police officers definitely did to us. Like I allegedly hit a dude in the head who was wearing a helmet and body gear with a stick. Police officers did hit people with sticks and did pepper spray people and did beat people up when they were surrendering. And that is why the Chicago Police Department is getting sued. They're in a federal lawsuit because of shit like that, where lots of protesters have like band together to sue them for like all of the gross stuff they did. Like the federal Justice Department has told them that they have to cease and desist, and they're not complying with that. The Chicago Police Department technically did not sign a contract with the city of Chicago because the contract involved too many like provisions on them not being allowed to beat people up, which is terrifying, right? Like we live in a city where the CPD can operate without contract because they don't want to not hit people. Like that is terrifying.
And who is that supposed to keep safe? You know, like that's not keeping anyone safe.
I mean, I don't think that's ever been their job. Like, I think that's what a lot of white people have been taught, that like the police is supposed to keep you safe, but like, who are they keeping you safe? Like, if you live in a low crime community because your community has schools and money and resources and grocery stores, then you're not having a crime issue. So police presence is really only there to scare black people out of your neighborhood and force gentrification and profile people who aren't from here when they walk around. Like, I think the police have done a very good job of making it look like their job is to keep people safe while doing very little to do so. Like, it's hard to keep people safe if your job is show up after a crime is committed, meaning you didn't prevent the crime.
Yeah, that's very true.
Like, quite literally, police do not prevent crime. When you put more police officers in a neighborhood with crime, you end up with more crime because they profile more people and then arrest more people falsely. And then they put that on the record with crime because there's technically more crime being reported, but then they don't have the conversation about cases being thrown out because it wasn't real, or people getting acquitted because the case was faulty and stuff like that. So the amount of arrests quadruple when you put more police into a neighborhood, but like the crime doesn't go away. It turns into more black and brown people getting profiled. They don't stop crime. They don't even test rape kits in the city. Like we have we have hundreds of thousands of rape kits that haven't been tested. You know, like this, the police do not stop crime. They don't protect anybody. They beat people up and protect property. They rolled up for Target, but didn't protect the Capitol. They rolled up to beat up Black people, but they cannot show up when there's a serial killer running loose in a predominantly Black neighborhood. You feel me? Like, shit like that happens here. So, yeah. Like, I understand, like, the narrative of them supposed to protect people, but, like, they never have. That's never been what they do.
What did you think about the insurrection that happened at the Capitol a few weeks ago?
When I saw it, the first thing I thought was they would have killed me if that was me. They would have shot me immediately if that was me. They would have murdered me outright. Like, I'm surprised I made it home from the protest I was at. I'm surprised they didn't kill me as soon as they brought me into the police station. Because I was getting, as soon as I got brought in, one of the sergeants was like, this is the dude that hit that officer. He's going to prison. Mind you, I hadn't been interrogated yet, and I hadn't been Mirandized yet. I didn't even know why I was under arrest, and multiple officers threatened me. You know what I'm saying? So, like, stuff like that happens. Like, so I didn't even think I was going to survive that. To see Capitol happen after coming off of the event that I experienced and, like, what happened to me, I know I would have been dead. I know for a fact I would have been killed.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe that change is possible, or is that a narrative that just brings hope? Is that worth anything, in your opinion?
It can be worth it, something, but we have to do stuff.
Yeah.
Like, we have to do stuff. Like, you can't vote, then go home, and that's what you did to make change. Because people, especially, like, white Americans have always voted. And, like, through voting, Black people have been enslaved. And the prison industrial complex has happened. And ICE has persisted. And people have been deported illegally and unfairly. And women have been oppressed. And the LGBTQ community has been oppressed, no matter, like, how frequently white Americans voted. So, like, the conversation about vote and it'll change, like, that's never been how that works. Like, on a country built on the Boston Tea Party and, like, the Revolutionary War, I do not understand why everyone is so adverse to direct action. So, like, I do believe change can happen. I am critical of our very pacified idea of what we think change looks like and the means to be able to attain it.
Yeah. Do you bring any of those themes into your music at all?
Kind of. Sometimes. It really depends on the song, because I make music comedy too. So there are days where I'm talking about this, and there are days where I'm talking about farts. It really depends.
Yeah. And I think that is something to be said too, that being an activist, you're also a human. Like, you're still also trying to enjoy life, and you're still trying to, write jokes about farts.
Yeah. Yeah, I need the break. I can't be like this all the time. It makes my head hurt.
Yeah. What is the outlook on your rap career as everything is standing at the moment? Are you still putting out content?
Yeah, I'm going to keep putting out content. I'm going to consistently put out content for a while throughout the entirety of this, because my life does not stop because a government that never valued me decided to do something to me very directly. Like, I've been Black my entire life. I always considered my life ending at the hands of a police officer an inevitability to some degree. Like, I never thought I would live in a world where police are gonna leave me alone. So, like, I accepted something like this happening to me, or me outright getting shot in front of my house, to be something that was gonna happen. Given that it has actually almost happened before. They thought I was breaking into my own house back in, like, 2014, and they hemmed me up in front of my own crib when I had my keys in the door. But that's a different story. But, like, yeah, it doesn't stop because they bothered me again. Like, my life has to go on.
So with all of your music and comedy and everything happening in the world right now, what is your dream rap career? What does that all look like?
My dream rap career is just me in my house with a cat. I like cats. I like dogs too. I like fish. I like reptiles. I like pets. I'll do anything but a spider. I'll do any small animal but a spider. So like, but I'm feeling like cat is the move right now. So just me and a cat, and I'm working on my music, and I don't have to work a regular 9 to 5 because I'm working on my music, and I no longer have an electronic shackle on my left ankle because the state has decided to take responsibility for the ways in which it treats Black people, because no matter what they think of me or of other protesters, on a fundamental level, if they were to take responsibility for what police officers and some of their own coworkers are doing to Black people, people like me wouldn't have to go to protests in the first place. So this starts and ends with them. That's my dream rap career. Me being able to do what I need to do, not have to go out, not have to protest, not have to make a bunch of noise because the government and the police, well, one, the police are defunded. That's a part of the dream too. That there aren't police. There are communities of people who are supporting each other so that we alleviate the core reasons crime happens in the first place, so that crime just doesn't happen. And that I won't have to protest anymore because all of this is done. And I could just work on music all day and make enough money to pay my rent. That'd be nice. Or make enough money to buy video games because housing is free. Because we should have free housing. I don't understand why we agreed to live together in societies just to charge each other interest for it. That just seems counterproductive. It's like, hey, we should live together to ensure our survival. Okay, cool. We should charge you for it. No, motherfucker, you invited me here. This is your idea. I'm not paying for shit. Especially on a continent I got kidnapped to. Imagine somebody kidnapping you and then making you pay utilities. That's how being Black in America is. Like, fuck that. I'm not paying for stuff. No, absolutely not. Don't want to pay for anything. I want free ham. I like ham.
Yeah, the system is so skewed in so many ways. And honestly, for a lot of my life, I didn't even know that. Like, I literally had no idea. And it's been, you know, that's on me. Like, to learn. And that's not something that, like, there this summer, I didn't understand what was going on for a good bit of it until I really had to sit with myself and be like, okay, this is way bigger than you, Claire. Like, this is so much more is going on in this world than you even realize. And that's something that, like, I had to take accountability for.
Yeah. And the word don't stop. The work does not stop. That's a conversation that I have to have with myself every day. That, like, there are other people in, like, other communities that I either directly have privilege over and need to take responsibility for, or that I need to be, like, standing in solidarity with, because even though my fight with racism isn't the exact same as theirs, enough of it is parallel that I should care. And even if none of it is, I should still care because people should be able to exist without being harmed. That's an uphill everyday thing that everyone should be doing all the time.
Yeah. It doesn't stop just because, like, it dies down in the news. Like, just because it's not a big news moment doesn't mean it's still not affecting people in their daily life.
Yep.
So with all of these other themes and experiences you've had, are there any ways that our listeners can support you, can find your music, or help your cause in any way?
If you Google Mohawk Johnson, you will find my music properly. Probably. I said properly. I'm great at talking. If you Google Mohawk Johnson, you will probably find my music. I'm very active on Bandcamp. Bandcamp is the platform where I get the most money directly. Like, I know Spotify is easy and you get to stream and blah, but, like, I don't, and, like, you can buy my music from iTunes, but, like, I don't see any of that. Like, Spotify pays me 0.04% of a cent per stream. So I have to get millions of streams to make hundreds of dollars, like, millions of streams to pay a phone bill. So, going to band camp, you know, you buy one of my projects for $5, I'm going to see like $4.30 of that. And like that is a very tangible way to help me. So Bandcamp is definitely the move. My Instagram, if you look up Mohawk Johnson on Instagram, you'll probably find the page Free My Nigga Mohawk, which is the campaign page that some very nice people put together for me. And they put my content on there sometimes. And it also, like, they post my court updates and stuff like that. So all the legal stuff is there. And my personal page, like, my comedy's up there. I post music up there. Other stuff is going on. I have an EP coming out next Friday with my house, because we all make music together. And a lot of info about that is going to be on my Instagram. Yeah. Just if you put Mohawk Johnson into anything, I'm probably going to be there.
Amazing. Yeah, we will definitely let our listeners know to check you out on Bandcamp. I knew Spotify wasn't as lucrative, but I think, at least from my understanding, a lot of people think, oh, if you put anything on the internet, you can make any money. But it's like, these companies take a lot from us creators and things like that.
Yeah, they don't give a shit. they don't give us anything. Like, people think popularity and conversation, like, translates into, like, fiscal benefit. And no. Absolutely not. Like, I've gone viral on so many, like, social media platforms and not a job offer, you know, not a cent. Like, I'm raising Instagram and Twitter's engagement, but, like, I don't get anything out of that. Like, I'm not making any money.
Yeah. What other things do you explore in your comedy? I know there's always, I've heard about this joke about beans going on. I think that's something that is really part of your brand, quote unquote. Could you speak to that a little bit?
There was this meme, and it was baked beans in a clock that I got from this Facebook page called Things Full of Beans That Shouldn't Be Full of Beans. And I started showing it to everybody because I thought that shit was hilarious. Why are there beans in that clock? Like, who did that? And I started yelling bean time. And within 2 days, entire night staff was yelling bean time. And I made us do that for months. And a lot of people hated it. A lot of people loved it. But everyone respected it. Because I committed fully.
Yeah, you committed fully to the beans moment.
Yeah, bean time is important. Bean time is eternal because time ain't even real. So it's just beans.
I love that. Yeah, for all of our listeners, Mohawk and I used to work together a while back at the Second City. I haven't worked there for a minute, and who knows if it'll ever come back, but that's a little bit about our background, too.
I'm actually in one of their shows, the Black and White News show.
Oh, yeah, I'm in that.
Yeah, I'm in one of their shows that they're doing.
What's that experience been like working on that show?
They just have me come in and improvise because they trust me. So it's been very easy on my end. I don't have to learn anything. I don't have to memorize anything. I just have to know who I'm talking to, and I just get to talk. They believe in me enough that they're like, yo, put him on stage and let him do whatever the fuck he wants. He's always funny. And I'm like, that feels good, you know, to have a platform at a job that, like, I struggled at a lot to believe in me enough to just put me on stage or put me on camera and go, just talk because we trust you. We trust you to do well. That it feels really good.
Yeah, we love to hear that. What are some of your favorite subjects to talk on?
I can't tell you yet because the show's not up yet. Y'all got to see it. Y'all got to see it. Y'all got to get on my Instagram and look at the show. I can't tell you.
Yes, love that promo. Love seeing it. And we'll definitely direct our listeners to check that out for sure. Yeah, Mohawk, this has been a really great interview. Thank you so much for being featured on Sit Still, Look Opinionated. Yeah, could you just say your Instagram handle one more time, and we'll make sure to link all of those other things in the show, too?
I need to look at it because I can't remember how it's spelled.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
I know it's my name, but do I? Do I really? Do I? Who? Okay, so my Instagram handle is Mohawk Johnson, but the W in Mohawk is two V's. So it's MOHVVKJOHNSON. That's me.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much for being on the show. And we'll put all those links in our description bar, too, so our listeners can find them.
I really appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you for having me on. Had a good time.
Yeah, of course.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mohawk Johnson.
What's up, everybody? My name is Mohawk. Mohawk Johnson. I'm a black guy. And I don't really like the way I look. So I made a song about it. And hopefully this will resonate with a couple of y'all. We can figure out what to do about it. Okay. 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 I hate my nose. I hate my hair. I hate my skin. I hate my body, but I love what is within. I hate my color because the Christians call it sin. I hate my lips because they're big. I want them thin. I go to cinemas and I am not within. I go to Pornhub because they want that nigga dick. I'm not a person, I'm a criminal to them. I am a fetish of even of a friend. I am my father's lips, I am my mother's skin. I am my papa's voice, I am my nana's will. I wish that you would notice I am not my skin. I wish that beauty standards thought my skin was lit. I wish that shorties liked me because of what I did. And who I am and how it be and how I spit. I wish that they would notice I am mad legit. And that the skin I'm in me, son, is that a shit. I dated niggas that said they only like crackers. I am not soup, so that is not the shit I'm after. While all your ex-boyfriends look like the same cracker. You black but don't like niggas, fuck a grand cracker. I wish that you loved you the way you want them to. I wish your skin was not a fetish for a ruse. I think I like you and that you would like me too. But you like white guys, there's nothing I could do.
Yeah, dude, it was mad weird, like. And like halfway through the date, she's like, hey, I'm really into white guys. And I'm like, okay, I've been a niggity nigga this entire time. I don't know why you waited till the third time we went out to tell me that. That was weird as shit. Like, I understand why people are into white people, cause like you look up the beauty standards in any country that's been colonized, and it's like thin nose, bright eyes, soft hair, lighter skin, and that's pretty much the same across the board for like places that Europe is fucked up. And like if you Google like attractive black people, the first page on Google Images is like mostly light-skinned people or like super oiled up, fetishized black people. It's really, really problematic. It's weird as fuck, and it just sort of makes me feel like something's wrong with me. And I don't think it's me.
And that's all for today. If you have any questions or comments about today's episode, you can email us at sitstilllookopinionated@gmail.com. And make sure to follow us on Instagram at sitstill_lookopinionated. And now on Twitter at sitstillpodcast. And make sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you didn't hear that right, please write a review. Please, please, please write a review! This podcast was produced by Michael Dritto and Claire Malky. And written by myself, Claire Malky, Michael Dritto, Fee Basanyavichis, and Gabriel Scavor. Theme music by Terrence Jackson. Transition music by Christina Walter. Research by Ross Black. This program is partially supported by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council Agency. If you would like to support this podcast, please visit and subscribe to our Patreon page linked in the show notes. This podcast was recorded on the land of the Kickapoo, Peoria, and Potawatomi Nations. And of course, I'm your host, Claire Malky. Oh, and don't forget, stay opinionated. Bye!
That's because I trust Subaru to keep me safe and spot here not to be a snitch. Because snitches get stitches and aren't bitches who don't drive Subarus.